SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. We'll start with a survey that's been done, a nationwide survey of Jewish university students. That's been commissioned by the Zionist Federation of Australia with the support of Orges and other organisations, which found that nearly two-thirds of Jewish students have encountered incidents of anti-Semitism during their time at university. And additionally, more than half of Jewish students have chosen to conceal their Jewish identity while on campus to avoid anti-Semitism, and one in five students have avoided campus altogether. The survey also indicates that 76% of Jewish students believe adopting a formal definition of anti-Semitism within universities could boost confidence in reporting incidents. These results should be met with alarm by Australian universities and the government. For years, Jewish students' claims about anti-Semitism on campus have been largely falling on deaf ears, according to Zionist Federation of Australia President Jeremy Liebler, who said this survey is a wake-up call. Orges President Elisa Foster explained that over the past few years, she's received daily stories from Jewish students and has had countless meetings with university administrations who strongly condemn anti-Semitism. She said the survey data is not shocking to me at all, but it confirms what we already knew, that Jewish students are experiencing anti-Semitism on campus, and they are forced into hiding their identities, and universities are not doing anything to address the problem. She said, we need more than strong words and apologies. We know ignorance is a problem, but ignorance needs to be met with education.
This is very worrying, because if you're Jewish Australian and you go to university and you've got this anxiety that you are hiding your identity because you're worried about anti-Semitism, I think it's very, very serious. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, a senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, I would like to ask you about the labor policies. It seems that there is some concerns over changes. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry, the ECAJ, has written to every member of the Australian Government Parliament to express the community's serious concerns over the government's change of language regarding Israel and the territories that it acquired or conquered, depend who you're talking to, in the 1967 Six-Day War.
That's right. Of course, Foreign Minister Penny Wong announced the week before that Australia will now refer to all of the West Bank, East Jerusalem, including the Old City and Gaza, as, quote, occupied Palestinian territory, and that all Israeli settlements are illegal. So the change came ahead of Labor's federal conference, which is happening at the moment in Brisbane. So the letter from the Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim and Alex Rivkin outlined that there is no Palestinian entity which exercises effective control over the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and that the future of the West Bank and East Jerusalem is a final status issue, and designating them at all as, quote, Palestinian is a prejudgment. They also wrote in the letter that as part of Israel since 1948, West Jerusalem is not a final status issue, and that on the legality of settlements, they wrote, no binding determination has ever been made. Following that, Wertheim told the Jewish News, we want to see our government stand with its democratic ally instead of taking steps against it. And Rivkin said, the Executive Council of Australian Jewry has been persistent in advocating for Israel and refuting ignorant rhetoric which falsifies history and fails to hold the Palestinian leadership to account. Now, replying to the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, independent member for Goldstone, Zoe Daniel, noted that the change of language was in line with other countries, former Australian foreign ministers and governments, and she also expressed agreement with the government's position that, quote, the current escalating clashes associated with settlements are an obstacle to peace. However, it does concern me, she said, that this decision was taken apparently to paper over internal Labor Party divisions at its national conference. Independent member for Kooyong, Monique Ryan, told the Jewish News, I'll consult with my community and will represent their views once I've had an opportunity to synthesize them, noting that she's discussed the government's decision with the ARC Center's Rabbi Gabby Taltman over Shabbat dinner. And she said she strongly believes in a two-stage solution. While member for Wentworth in Sydney, Allegra Spender, last week called the change counterproductive. She added, there is no point in Australia making symbolic changes to language. Also in this week's Australian Jewish News, Federal Opposition Leader Peter Dutton has wrote a full-page opinion piece exactly on this issue. In summary, he said it sends the Labor Party's foreign policy switch on Israel sends the worst possible message to one of our closest friends and allies. And he said the coalition expresses its regret and rebuke at the Albanese government's decisions on Israel, which have compromised rather than consolidated Australia's foreign relations and social cohesion.
Shane, there. Attorney General Mark Dreyfus, who is Jewish, he says that he's not sure that he agrees that anti-Semitism comes from talking about Israel. When asked if Labor's recent change in position regarding Israel may not be helpful in the fight against anti-Semitism.
Yeah, so he said those comments when asked about his position when he was attending a briefing hosted by Community Security Group Victoria last Monday, during which the current state of anti-Semitism in Australia was discussed, as well as the efforts undertaken by the Australian government to address them and combat the issue. So Dreyfus said, we had anti-Semitism before the State of Israel existed when discussing the correlation between the rise of anti-Semitism and the current political situation in the Middle East. He did note, however, quote, sometimes anti-Semitism takes the form of attacks on Israel and there's a readiness to attack Israel. And we all know this, particularly in universities. But he called this a kind of variant of anti-Semitism. So, interesting remarks on this issue from Mark Dreyfus.
And we are talking to Shane Tiziatnik, a senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, before we go, you've got a really good story to tell about soccer. And we were very preoccupied with soccer in the past few weeks anyway.
Exactly right. So Hadass Prawa and Dima Al-Rami are more convinced than ever in the power of football, soccer, to unite Israel's Arab and Jewish communities, after being caught up in the current euphoria of the FIFA Women's World Cup here in Australia. The two Israeli football players, one Jewish and one Muslim, from the Peres Center for Peace in Jaffa, are in Australia thanks to the support of the Zionist Federation of Australia and the UIA. They have attended matches and events and taken part in something called the Football for Good Festival, which celebrates the power of football to bring communities together. We see football as an education tool, Proward told the AJN. It's a common language, and the desire to win is bigger than a lot of other things. And I think soccer specifically is one of the most popular sports in the world, and in Israel specifically, for both communities, Arabs and Jews. And it's a really good tool for us to use, and it's also very easy to teach. Al-Rami is from Shefa Amra in northern Israel and plays professional football for Maccabi Hadera. And Prower works as a coach for a local girls team in Jerusalem and for the Perez Center, where she leads a group of 20 Jewish girls in joint activities with Arab girls from the nearby city of Abu Ghosh. Al-Rami said, for the kids, they don't really focus on, I'm Jewish and you're Arab. They just enjoy playing together. Zionist Federation CEO Jeanette Searle said Prower and Al-Rami's involvement in Football for Good Festival effectively communicated the mission of the Perez Center for Peace to a diverse group of athletes. And on Tuesday, the footballers gave a talk at Beth Weitzman in Melbourne, co-hosted by Zionism Victoria, the ZFA and UIA. They also visited the Israel 75 Peace Garden, and they came to Sydney and did some activities for the festival there. Prower added, a new focus for the return to Israel will be on gender equity, and I'm pushing for an Israeli women's football team to one day feature in the FIFA Women's World Cup. There is a change coming, but we are a little bit far behind at the moment, Prower said. But Al-Rami added, it's my dream, actually, and I want to be there one day.
Shane Dziadnik, a senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.